Underdogs, enjoy part one of episode. Are you kidding me? We talk about Trump, the NFL, healthcare, Puerto Rico, and more. Enjoy. Get into the mood. Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show. And you just heard the new intro song to the show. And the good news is, while the show happens live, it gets recorded.
It does.
So then we can play that back week after week. And if you forgot any of the words to your freestyle, we got it.
That was definitely freestyles.
I'm not mad at you. Hello, New York City. Hello, Harlem. Hello, underdogs. Hello, my people. And hello to the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. You made it to the place where we get personal about the news and the culture. And you listen to the voice of Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, on-air personality, and just overall into spreading special stuff. And the voice you heard to kick off the show with her freestyle was that of Asha Davis, award-winning advertising exec.
Hi.
She is also a comedy writer.
Yeah.
And the proud owner of Brand Pop Marketing.
Yes.
I learned that today.
Yes, thank you.
And for those who've been like, yo, Asha, where you been at?
I was in Los Angeles, California for the past 2 weeks. I took a long 2-week break from work, and we'll talk a little bit about that later in terms of just how important that is in life.
Yes, we will, because I want to know where were you and then also where you going.
Oh, because you know that's what's more important.
Yes, indeed.
Because
The past is in the rear view mirror. Today's show, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me?
Literally and figuratively, we'll get into that. But first, we should let folks know how they can go on the journey with us today from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. here on WHCR 90.3 FM, where we do the live radio show. But this is also a podcast that folks can listen to during the week. You can call us at area code
212-650-6903.
Phone line's wide open for you. And if you like to watch Facebook Live, Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. That's Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. GregoryNeesmith.
Lots and lots of letters in the alphabet. So ladies, if you're looking to get hooked up with Gregory, just make sure that you keep in mind you're going to have a lot of letters in your name.
Are you kidding me that you're talking to them about letters?
Yeah.
You're supposed to say it's worth it.
I mean, it depends. You know, I like to keep things short and sweet, except...
Said no woman
Pause.
Ever. Said no underdog ever. See?
It's opposite day.
Oh, that's your comeback?
It's long and strong.
Oh, okay, I'm going to use that. If I do anything wrong today, I'm going to go, well, you know, I was just, it's opposite.
It's opposite day.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it. All right. Football.
Yep, my second favorite sport.
What's your favorite sport?
Basketball, obviously.
Okay, my favorite sport is basketball. To play. And then tennis, and then, well, anyway, so actually, let me tell you about football, because we talk about, are you kidding me? Me as a kid, memories, football. I'll never forget, I used to play football in the street, because we didn't have nice parks and fields where I lived in Philadelphia. So, literally, we were playing football, 1-2-3, tat hold, and I'll never forget, one of my friends threw the ball to me, and I'm like the man, I'm about to go up and catch the ball.
Yeah.
And then I ran into a car.
Oh.
I thought I died.
Like, how seriously were you injured?
Like, pretty much almost knocked out.
Did you go to the hospital?
No, we don't go to the hospital for
this. You didn't go to the hospital.
No, you just.
That's what you guys do in America. You know how different that is? Like, somebody would have called 911 immediately if that was Canada. Like, immediately.
I literally thought I'd die. I ran into a park. The car wasn't moving.
You almost went unconscious. You know, you could have had CTE. Like, anyways, okay, keep going.
Okay, so that's one of my football memories. But I still kept playing even after that. So then my next one was I was about 13. Playing at a place we called Church Lot because literally it was the lot of a church. And they had some grass there, so we would play tackle football. And I'll never forget, one of my friends threw a pass to a friend over the middle of the field. He got clocked, like tackled, de-cleated, like feet off the ground, laying flat like he's dead. And in that moment, I said to myself, we getting too old for this.
Yikes.
I'm like, I'm not playing football anymore. And so football became a memory to me. That was the last time I actually played football. I don't do it. It's like distant memories.
Right.
And guess what is also about to be a distant memory?
What?
Watching the NFL.
You still on the boycott?
I'm still on the boycott. So I have not. Football is just like my childhood memories. I think the way things are going, football and watching the NFL is about to become a distant memory.
You know that. So even if they stop kneeling, right? You're still gonna boycott.
If they stop, that's a good question because I do want to talk about what would make me or inspire me to come back to watching football again.
Yeah.
But we're gonna get that. But first, just like I'm about to get off topic, it's because I want to illustrate for people that I think we're all off topic because we've been trolled by Donald Trump.
We absolutely have.
And for those who may not remember what I mean by trolled by Donald Trump, it was only a little over a week ago that this happened.
By the same great American values. We're proud of our country. We respect our flag. Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL... when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, get that son of a bitch off the field right now, out, he's fired. He's fired!
Remember that?
How could I forget?
Well, just in case you forgot.
Certainly did not.
Donald Trump was back at it again. Literally, this weekend, he was tweeting about the NFL. And he wrote, very important that NFL players stand tomorrow and always for the playing of our national anthem. Respect our flag and our country.
So he said this yesterday, right?
Yes.
So basically, last week, he... did that rally and that quote, that what you just played, and everybody kneeled, right?
Yep. Or locked arms.
Right. But the lock arms thing, he took that over and said, locking arms is okay, but kneeling is bad, right? And so there was a little bit of weirdness there. But then he's saying, so then the players sort of protested him last week.
Yes.
Right?
Kind of,
right? And some different teams are doing different things. They're kneeling before the anthem, but then standing for the anthem to try to potentially change the narrative to take the flag and the anthem out of this discussion.
Yeah, and don't forget, some people were praying too, like your boy Ray Lewis.
About what?
He was on both knees.
Who was he praying to? He needs Jesus. He can't. Why is he trying to pray for other people?
Because he's Ray Lewis.
But what was he praying for?
This is part of the problem. We've lost all focus on why this all started. I don't know whether people are protesting unity, protesting Trump. It's been hard to follow. With that said, though, for all the underdogs out there listening right now, because Ash and I are in studio, it's 1 o'clock. Games have kicked off. Let us know what you've heard or seen on the news so far about how games that are happening at 1 o'clock have kicked off. Mm-hmm. Protests, kneeling, praying, locked arms, booing. Please let us know at area code 212-650-6903 or Facebook facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith on the Facebook Live. Now, we talked about the theme being, are you kidding me? My mom used to say, and always remind me, keep my eye on the prize.
Mama knows best.
Yeah, keep your focus. And so to your point, it's now gotten to a place where I don't know whether we're protesting Trump, whether we're protesting for unity. I mean, even the cover of Sports Illustrated, which I don't know if you saw while you were on your break.
Yeah.
They had a cover related to unity that talked about a nation divided and sports united. And who do you think would be some of the people they might put on that cover?
Steph Curry.
Yep, Steph was on it.
LeBron.
Yep.
Roger Goodell.
Yep, Roger. NFL, obviously, in this now.
Who else would have been on there? Chris Long? No? Michael Bennett?
Michael Bennett did make it on there.
Uh-huh. Was there any unexpected people on there?
Well, there were some unexpected people not on there.
Like who?
Colin Kaepernick.
Was Jemele Hill on there?
No, Jemele didn't make it either.
Damn.
So literally, the guy who started it all, and you make a very good point, Jemele Hill, who was literally in the firestorm of this debate and with Trump, didn't make it either.
Yeah.
Both of them, not on it. So to me, we've definitely lost focus. And as my mom used to say, don't take credit for things that you didn't do. All those people can be on the cover, but they can't be on it without Colin Kaepernick.
At least, like, at least give him pay homage. You know, if he's the one that started it, he's still the one donate. Like, he made a pledge to donate a certain amount of money to charities and stuff. And now it's like he's not making money to, you know, he doesn't have a job.
He doesn't. And we'll get into that in a second after this break. But today's show, as we go through it, we're going to talk about the things that we learned as kids that it seems some adults have forgotten that have us really going, are you kidding me? And when we come back, I do want to get into what our eyes should be on in terms of the prize related to Colin Kaepernick, the NFL, and Trump. And then also we're going to talk about what's going on in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some updates on healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
Your favorite topic.
That's my absolute favorite topic.
And more of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news
and
the
culture. Inhibited is back this week, baby.
It is.
Let's go to break.
It's I'm trying to. I thought we are. We'll talk about that after. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. Also, appreciate all the folks online who are following along on Facebook Live and also the folks who are driving around in their cars on this sunny Sunday. Appreciate you. And guess who's back?
Guess who's back, 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 back again, again, again. Tell the world, tell the... Okay. You changed the name of the show while I was gone, too. Like, what happened to the underdogs?
I was taking it back to the roots, and I didn't want your mug to go to waste.
You just, like, all the way okie-doke change the show. I leave for 2 weeks.
I know, and you didn't even say.
What
when I said
to
guess
the uns, like?
This, we're talking about the unavoidable news of the week right,
right
now.
Right, right, right. So.
Did you, and when I said guess who's back, you didn't say who's back.
Who guess who's Bizak?
You.
Oh, obviously.
I know, but I just wanted you to say
hi, I'm Asha.
Yes.
Anyways, we were talking about the NFL. We had a caller. She made a really great point.
Yes. So caller Deborah from Manhattan was just making sure that we are remember that the relationship between the military and the NFL is one that is a bit tangled and one that involves money. And it's been widely reported that the military used to pay the NFL to have folks stand and interact with the anthem as a tool for recruitment.
Yeah, so exactly. So essentially, NFL players have actually only been standing for the national anthem since 2009. So we're looking at a practice that is, you know, under 10 years old, that initially, to Gregory's point, the only reason that it's been done is because the military, after 2009, started using the NFL as a recruitment tool. So not just the national anthem, but if you actually go to NFL games, you'll notice halftime shows during the break, there's always some sort of military activity going on within the sport. So I think it's really, really, really important to acknowledge that there is a additional political side to this too. And yes, then manufactured anger.
Speak on it. And shout out to Deborah from Manhattan for reminding us of that point. Now, like I said, when I was growing up, parents always reminded me, keep your eye on the prize. And I feel like we've been trolled by Trump. People are all over the place. So I want to get back to what now? So first, Sports Illustrated seemed to forget this, but thank you, Colin Kaepernick, for the protests and raising awareness of racial inequalities, especially when it comes to policing and the criminal justice system.
I would give a round of applause, but that doesn't work on radio. It makes it pop, but no. Silent applause. Thank you so much, yes, Mr. Kaepernick.
So that's first. Now, you know, oftentimes when there's issues, there's awareness building, then there's also acknowledgement. I have to say, it seems like a lot of the country is not ready to acknowledge that this is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that. But to me, what's really next is like, what do we want? Because you can make people be aware, which is like step one. But now it's like, if you and I are having a dispute and I just tell you, Asha, I'm mad at you. Asha, I'm mad at you. Asha, I'm mad at you. Well, I'm sure at some point you'd be like, well, what do you want? What do you need to have happen so you're not mad at me anymore?
Yeah.
And so I want to spend just a little bit of time on, like, what do I want? What do you want out there, underdogs, to come out of this whole Colin Kaepernick NFL protest things? Because right now, all we're getting is locked arms and unity pledges. And that's not why this whole thing started. So just as a little bit of context, I went and looked up some stats because I think some people don't realize that there truly are issues related to criminal justice and to policing. And for those who are like, don't go find some right-wing conspiracy or some left-leaning place, I went to the Department of Justice, to the government, and their stats on things like racial inequalities. So sentencing, as for example, they studied a period over 8 years from 2005 to 2012, and they found that black men received roughly 10% or longer prison sentences than white men for similar crimes, even after accounting for the facts surrounding the case. So while there's been a trend towards more lenient sentences overall, white males have seen larger declines in average prison sentences than black males.
Wow.
That's not me speculating or going, you know what, it just feels like I don't get treated fairly as a black man. No, these are Department of Justice stats. Also, they found, as a whole, females and white males received less severe sentences than black males over the 8-year period of the study. Black females were found to not be disadvantaged compared to white females. However, the black male was disadvantaged to everyone when it came to sentencing.
Makes sense.
You know, this isn't me just talking about my own personal experience. This is stats from the government. And then lastly, because I want to also make sure we zero in on policing, which is where Colin actually started, there was a study done in 2015 with the Greensboro, North Carolina police officers, and they found that discretion to search black drivers on their cars was more than twice as often as white motorists. So black drivers were, their cars were inspected more often than white motorists, even though they found drugs and weapons significantly more often when the drivers were white. So this pattern is crazy. You're pulling over and searching black men's cars more often, even though statistics would say the people you're pulling over less often are still more likely to have contraband or some type of illegal substance on them.
I mean, I think that is a much more compelling stat because, I mean, this is really extremely scary, especially, I mean, in the previous stat you mentioned, for 4 of those 8 years, we had a black president, you know? So it's like, what more can we possibly achieve, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we had a black president.
And yet and still, these things were still happening over that time.
Right. It's like when they do the analysis of, you know, God forbid that Trump makes it all the way to 2020. When they do the analysis of, you know, 2016 to 2020 and how these statistics are changing and increasing, like, I'm terrified.
And it's interesting you mentioned the Obama years. Mm-hmm. Not to be, Obama and his administration did attempt to do something. They actually put into place what was called community-oriented policing services, which would actually look to see whether there were irregular patterns of police practices and whether they were one-time offenses or something that was happening ongoing. And they would also then publicly state that those police departments had issues and then support them in helping to make changes. Mm-hmm. And guess what? The Donald Trump administration is like, we're going to cancel that program. Mm-hmm. So while Obama administration was trying to make progress, they've now seen that go backwards. So I want to talk about what I want to see happen. I want politicians to speak up. That cover you mentioned with Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Did you mention any politicians on that cover?
Did not.
Donald Trump's a politician. He's weighing in.
He sure is.
Have you heard? So what I did this morning, I went on my phone. I went to Twitter and I literally put in folks who are seen as being likely candidates to be president or run for president on the Democratic side. So I went on my phone. I put in Elizabeth Warren. And I just literally like, oh, let me look at her timeline for the last 14 days and see what she was talking about. You think she said anything about Trump and the NFL and protests and anthem and supporting police brutality and ending racial inequality?
I'm going to take your sarcastic tone as a no.
No. Bernie Sanders did the same thing. Oh, let me see what Bernie, because, you know. Bernie got time to talk about Hillary Clinton's book.
Burn ain't say.
Rightfully so, talking about Puerto Rico and about the tax plan and about Obamacare still being in place. Not a thing about this. Kamala Harris. Not a thing about this all week. Cory Booker. Shout out to our neighboring state, New Jersey, where he is the senator. He said some things in the past supportive of Colin Kaepernick and policing and racial inequality, but he's been a bit quiet since Trump made his statement in the past week.
Well, I think too, but to be fair, again, just to be one other counterpoint, right, is Colin, I don't know if you guys remember, in 2016, Colin Kaepernick actually came out and publicly said that he didn't vote in the election.
Yep.
And so I think that his public stance on not voting, which, you know, is obviously counterproductive, right, could potentially be part of the reason of why, you know, politicians are not jumping to actually, you know, support him. Yes, supporting the issue is really important. And I certainly don't disagree that they should be at least acknowledging, you know, this issue is a major topic in the general ethos of conversation in society right now in America. But I just wanted to bring that point up about voting.
I hear you. And I get that. But the people that he is protesting on behalf are voters.
I agree.
And to your point, even if they don't want to come out and support Colin Kaepernick, I actually think that that's fine. Don't, if any of those folks, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, if they never mentioned Trump or Colin Kaepernick, but said, I believe that there is an issue with racial inequality when it comes to policing and criminal justice system, and therefore I want to work towards new sentencing laws. I want to work towards reinstituting that program that Donald Trump canceled with the DOJ. I'd be like, great. But guess what the Hill reported? Harris, Warren, Sanders did not put out press releases on the issue or weigh in on Twitter, at least as of midweek.
We have a comment on Facebook of Keon is telling us, we asked the question of what are people hoping for?
Yeah, what do you want?
The outcome. And he says, I'm not exactly sure what I'm hoping for. Maybe the fall and collapse of the sport and the beginning of our own league, maybe something like that.
Okay. Shout out to Keon. I will say, in reference to until there's our own league or a league that actually is supportive of putting an end to racial inequality, I'd love to just have a team that had some owners who were for the cause. And they probably would have hired Colin Kaepernick by now.
Well, I think to the point that Keon brings up to me, it reminisces Black Wall Street. yes. and the notion of Black unity. You know, when we talk about being unified as a race or as a culture, right? When you think about other communities, whether it's the Jewish community, the Italian community, the Indian community, the Arabic or Muslim communities, you know, they all stick together. They band together where, you know, you never really are going to see too many people in those communities actively speaking out against their own. Whereas, you know, within our community, you know, we've been systematically subjugated since the inception of America. And there's still and this is to me is so radical, is that when a situation comes out that obviously affects all Black people, whether or not you have money. Remember the story of OJ. Jay-Z put it very, very nicely. You know, it doesn't matter if you have money, you're still, you know, blank. And so still Jigga. And so I think it's really important. I think the one thing is, like, at least if some sort of outcome could be a greater unity among our community, you know, imagine, I mean, I know this is a joke and this is fantasy, but imagine there was a league or some sort of entity in which it's just all Black people, like, because, you know, things that Black people obviously excel at, like sports and things like that. Imagine if we were also the owners and not just the players.
It's possible. It feels like fantasy now. It just like.
Exactly.
Just like Obama as president felt like a fantasy.
Exactly. You know, so I think that we shouldn't. Black people banding together and achieving some level of unity and power within this country shouldn't sound that radical of a fantasy, considering that other ethnic groups have had the ability to do that as well.
No, it shouldn't. And then to not let other folks off the hook, don't be a Democratic Party. Don't be some of the leaders of it and talk about how this voting bloc of African Americans means so much to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then an issue where we are squarely in the bullseye of it. You couldn't find enough time to put out 140 characters on it.
Exactly.
That's unacceptable. And so to your point, and to Keon's too, we need both to be happening. As of right now, I got folks praying on two knees. I got people talking about unity. I got Sports Illustrated leaving the guy off the cover who did it. I got politicians who somehow, as a spokesman from the DNC said, I think everyone is aware of the tightrope that we have to walk on this issue. I think that's something we're all trying to figure out what tightrope. What tightrope is the disparity that we just talked about in sentencing? The disparity of people getting pulled over. What tightrope am I walking?
Gregory is not with the Cirque du Soleil today. He is visibly angry. For all of our radio listeners, he got halfway out his seat just now. He is very, very upset.
I'm just saying, I'm tired of, and I'll use the healthcare example. Jimmy Kimmel's out here taking a stand for the Affordable Care Act like he's our elected official. I got John McCain, a Republican, literally saving healthcare twice the past couple months. I got Donald Trump, as much as I despise him, out here fighting for his voting bloc. For folks who believe in some white nationalist principles. For folks who may believe in it's really about the flag when we know it's not. Out here talking for his people. And I can't get Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or Kamala Harris to be on the record this week.
Do we have time for one more Facebook comment?
Yeah.
Kirsten. Shout out to Kirsten.
Yeah, shout out to Kirsten Magwood in the building.
Kirsten says, Kaepernick is not the issue. Police brutality against Black people is the issue. The NFL Players League would do good to put together a list of demands for Black lives that should also defend their First Amendment rights to protest.
I agree with that. And to build on that, what I want the politicians to speak up. What I want them to reverse the action that the DOJ just took that no longer allows the Department of Justice to monitor police departments that aren't doing their job. I want to see bills passed related to sentencing, bail rules done before this year is out. I also want the NFL to get into this, too. Take some of that money and donate it towards causes that help further equality in reference to policing and to the criminal justice system. And, oh, by the way, get Colin Kaepernick signed.
Nicely
and because
said.
I'm being petty, Sports Illustrated needs to reissue a new cover. Mm. But that's just the petty of me. Just like saying, you know what? While we on a roll, I might as well just add that into.
Mm. Tell it and yell it, boo.
So that's what I want. What do you want? Let us know. Area code 212-650-6903 or on Facebook Live. Shout out to Keon. Shout out to Deborah for weighing in on this topic. We're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more about some unavoidable news of the week and some things that just really have us going, Are you kidding me? Unfortunately, not. More of the Greg Nisman Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Nisman Show. Shout out to the underdogs, to my peoples, and the occasional Trump supporter who might accidentally have found the show. We appreciate you all. And shout out to Asha Davis.
Hey.
And to all the folks following along on Facebook Live or driving around in their car on a sunny Sunday, hopefully listening to us instead of watching the NFL.
Ouch.
And you can follow along the show on WHER.org also, where there's live video and audio to all the programming. Spend your Sundays with WHER 90.3 FM. All right, today's topic, are you kidding me? We talked a little bit about football.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember growing up learning things like keep your eye on the prize.
Yeah.
And I want us to relate it to this whole thing about racial inequality. But now, I want us to shift gears to another unavoidable news story of the week. And I got to thinking, when I was younger, I remember elders would say to me, especially when it came to dating,
yeah,
make sure you're on the same page.
What does that mean?
Meaning, make sure that what you want and what the other person wants are the same thing. Make sure you're clear on what your relationship is. Or like, don't be at an event and someone goes, is that your boyfriend? And you're like, not really. Or is that y'all friends with benefits? Like, are y'all living? Like, what is it? You don't want your response to be like the Facebook thing now. It's complicated. That's not a good answer.
Right.
Because when things get troublesome,
mm-hmm.
when things are complicated, you don't know how much someone's going to help, not going to help, what the real relationship is. Like, you got to have some, like, what kind of relationship are we in?
Right. That makes sense.
Because when times get tough, you know, you want to have that clarity on how you're going to support each other. Now, that has me thinking about our current unavoidable news story of the week.
Yeah.
What's going on in Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
I can't, like, yeah. It's crazy.
Is it a state? Is it not a state? Is it a commonwealth? Something happens, we're supposed to help them, we're not supposed to help them?
It's a territory. They pay taxes and they're not allowed to vote.
Which to me would be, if I had to click the button on like relationship status, that's too complicated.
That's too complicated. But when you try to buy something online and you got to select your state that you live in, when they're taking your credit card information, you know what state shows up? Puerto Rico. It doesn't say territory. It says state.
But then something happens like what's going on now. Normally you would say, make sure you're out, get ready and out there and vote. Go call your representatives. Make sure you get a different president office. But guess what? Puerto Ricans can't vote for the president of the United States. They can't vote for a representative in the House or a senator. It's just, I think we need to just go all in and like make the mistake. Now, with that said, as everyone knows by now, it's been 11 days after Hurricane Maria began to pound Puerto Rico as a Category 4 storm. Millions in the U.S. Commonwealth remain without regular electricity service. Many have limited access to gas, cash, and running water. And it's been reported that at least 16 people have died as a result of the storm. And we know something like that could climb as you start to get to more areas of the island that haven't been able to be reached yet at this point.
Exactly. Like, can you believe that 11 days is a very long time. Like, if you think about, you know, a human being can only go 3 days without water, right?
Yeah.
and you can only go like 2 days without food. And so 11 days, like people would be literally starving to death. Or if you don't have clean water, you would be literally dying. And if you live somewhere that they can't get to, because there's many places on the island that are impossible to get to right now because of, you know, broken infrastructure, there could be a lot more. And 11 days, the president still hasn't been there. That's a week and a half, more than that.
But when Harvey happened in Texas,
right?
I believe it happened on a Friday. He was there by Tuesday.
Exactly.
Also with Hurricane Irma.
Irma.
I believe quickly responding, all the federal help going to Florida. Quick. And then Mike Pence there normally like a day or two after, like both on it. And truth be told, while a lot of folks in the media seem to be against Trump often, even most people couldn't find much to say about his response. He had a couple of tweets here and there, and people got on him about, like, did he get all the way to the scene when he first got there in Texas?
Yeah.
But all in all, it seemed like the response was swift from the federal government and definitely not a Katrina situation.
No, and he certainly wasn't blaming them.
No, he wasn't tweeting 18 times in a day about how inadequate the folks in Texas or Florida were for wanting help.
Exactly. And even though he took that long to get to Florida and Texas, it didn't take him that long to respond to the issue. Right. So remember, he didn't even do his first tweet about Puerto Rico until he faced criticism that it had been, I believe it was 5 days, and he was too busy tweeting about the NFL and he still hadn't said anything. And only once everybody came out and said, I can't believe this guy has sent 19 tweets about the NFL and zero about Puerto Rico, did he come out and actually, you know, say something about it.
Yes. And to your point earlier Saturday, which was literally, it feels like it was weeks ago, but that was literally just yesterday.
Wow.
Trump, who plans to visit the island this coming Tuesday, used Twitter to criticize the mayor of San Juan, saying that the leadership ability of some in Puerto Rico who want everything to be done for them when it should be a community effort. And, you know, he's really just been out there criticizing her. And it's been, again, we talk about eye on the prize, losing focus. Why are we having arguments between Donald Trump and a mayor of a place that is like literally a disaster zone?
Right.
It's just, he is. And then I don't know if you heard the speech, but he mentioned how he started making excuses. He goes, I don't know if you know this, but Puerto Rico is surrounded by water, big water.
We can't
the ocean.
We can't just drive trucks from other states there. No, but don't we have a Navy? Isn't this America? That never stopped you guys from getting anywhere. How can you be threatening North Korea in the same breath? And you can be threatening North Korea and in the same breath you're telling me you can't even get to somewhere that's in America.
He literally goes, surrounded by water, big water, the Atlantic Ocean. I'm like, who writes for this dude?
That's insane.
Like, I need a...
I guarantee you that was off script, bro.
Part of me, I don't even know if I hope it is or hope it isn't, actually.
It's absolutely off script. I don't.
Big water. All right. So what's the latest on what's going on? FEMA officials did issue an update over the weekend. And just some really, really challenging news. All phone landlines are now working, which is good.
That's good.
The government still is in the process of buying a few thousand crates of private sector goods, such as food meant for grocery stores. Companies that can't access the port and deliver the goods will be forced to sell the items to the Commonwealth, which will distribute them. What? That doesn't sound good. About 10,000 people are in roughly 230 shelters. About half of the island's customers have regular water service.
Just speaking about the shelters, I think the other thing that I wanted to mention is, like, while Trump is out here criticizing the mayor of Puerto Rico, the mayor of San Juan, which is the capital, while he's out here criticizing her, she's living in a shelter with her family, you know, sleeping on a cot in that same shelter, that the big one that's there. Yep, she's there living. And you know where he was tweeting from?
His golf course.
His private golf course. Yeah.
Which, just as a quick aside, he tweeted, I believe, 18 times related to Puerto Rico yesterday. And then they said there was like a 6-hour gap where he didn't tweet anything and couldn't be found. So it's reported that he was likely criticizing Puerto Rico, then playing golf, then back to criticizing Puerto Rico again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And this going on, wow, you know, you want to talk about the sensitivity of human life? Think about hospitals, okay? Right now, okay, 51 of the 69 hospitals are open. But when you actually dig into the story, all of those hospitals are running on generators. Do you know how powerful a generator would have to be to power a hospital for an extended period of time? So it's only a matter of time before these generators like actually run out. Like, you know how many things are plugged in, yeah. Life support machines and such. Like, those take a lot of power, right? So the mayor of San Juan was saying they had to evacuate another hospital the other day because the generator literally blew up. Like, the generator caught on fire because it's working that hard. And it's inevitable that that unless something happens immediately with the electricity infrastructure, then that's going to, like, continue to keep happening, you know?
Yeah, I mean, our thoughts and prayers go out to all the folks in Puerto Rico, which I believe is an island that has close to almost 4 million people on the island. And, of course, they are our brothers and sisters, our fellow American citizens.
Exactly. And only 5% of them have electricity right now.
It's crazy.
Like, there's 95% of the country is living like it's 1890 something before Thomas Edison invented electricity.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. And also shout out to the folks in the New York area, because a lot of folks of Puerto Rican descent or have once lived there now live in metro areas, and New York being, I think, one of the largest population of Puerto Ricans in the country.
So shout out to the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people literally in this city listening to us right now who literally can't focus for the past 11 days because some of them haven't heard from, like, their mom or their dad or their relatives and don't even know whether they're alive. And they get to, like, turn on the news or go on their phone and see the president getting into a Twitter battle about whether or not the mayor cares. Or wants too much, which is she just wants the people of Puerto Rico to be alive and well.
I mean, do we have time for some Facebook comments?
Yeah, shout out to the folks following along on Facebook Live at facebook.com/GregoryNeesmith.
So Tavion says, regarding the PR situation, I think it's very shady that the U.S. won't let other countries help.
Shout out to Tavion. Good brother. And he makes a good point. This, given that it's been 11 days and the U.S. has been a little slow to act, we definitely shouldn't be turning away help from others who want to make things better in Puerto Rico, especially since it's, you know, surrounded by water, big water.
Big, the hugest water of all the waters.
Yeah, the Atlantic.
There's never been a water like that water.
Somebody get Trump out of here.
Stop it. And then Keon has another comment. He says, I think Puerto Rico just found out they are black the hard way.
I mean, they definitely found out that when you in that, it's a complicated relationship. You get to really see who's on your side and who isn't. And right now, it's clear that Trump and this administration is not on Puerto Rico's side. Other comments from Facebook?
That's it.
Hey, we appreciate Keon. And shout out to Tavion for checking in because, you know, we do this for the underdogs and for my peoples, too. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more of the unavoidable news of the week. Also, I think we have an honor of the week this week.
Ooh.
And it might have something to do with Facebook and an update on the Affordable Care Act. It's like literally on life support. And I didn't even mean that as a pun intended, but it's lived on for another week.
I feel like it's doing better than life support. I mean, people have tried to kill it 3 times now. So now they're back to the drawing board and trying to kill it. So it's the people are saved. I feel like the life support's working. The person in the coma just woke up at least.
Okay.
They're okay for now.
For now.
Yeah, they're okay for now, though. At least they're back home shooting in the gym.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about all of those things and take your phone calls and online comments after this break. Okay. Part of me wants to jump in, but I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna stay in my lane.
In the lane. It's all the same.
I'm on the ones and twos.
We rapping crazy because it's so insane on the brain.
And now it's time for me to take the unavoidable news train.
Unavoidable news train. Let's take the news train.
Clearly, you're listening to Gregory Neesmith and Asha the Rapper Davis.
We having too much fun today.
Yes, we are. I might later in the show I'll try to jump into the cipher.
Oh shoot! Are we gonna do another cipher?
Well, so far there hasn't been a cipher. It's just been you freestyling.
Yeah, let's do a cipher.
We might.
Okay.
Anybody who's willing to join in, it's 212-650-6903. I'm sure somehow we can figure out to keep the beat on and like there's callers.
That would be cool if our callers joined the freestyle.
Yo, what other show do you get freestyling? You get personal about the news and the culture and folks get to weigh in on things.
I think one of our listeners, Keon, raps. He should call in.
Okay, Keon, let us know if that's what you do. You know, don't keep your talents. Underdogs out there. Shine.
Shine.
The podcast is going to go out. People going to hear you.
People going to hear you.
Might get a deal or something. Uh-oh. Out of this all.
So, we talking healthcare.
Yes. 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 Yes, we are.
We talking healthcare, not talking welfare.
We are. So, today's show, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me? What's going on with healthcare?
Well, I think the one thing I learned growing up that I want to mention in reference to this story is that I was always taught, treat people how you want to be treated.
The golden rule.
Golden rule.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got Congress care, that means you should want other people to have Congress care.
Exactly.
If you got low healthcare costs, if you got access to good healthcare coverage, you should want other people to have it.
You should.
It sounds like the golden rule. Sounds logical. But guess what? The GOP is at it, or was at it again. They tried to pass a new healthcare bill, repeal the ACA, and replace it with something else that ain't nowhere near it.
But it includes the same letters, so they were hoping we would have got confused.
You mean like how some people used to hate Obamacare but love the Affordable Care Act?
Exactly.
Which still...
Or they called it that they... combated the ACA with the AHCA.
Yes.
Which was the same letters. Anyways.
They tried. So for those who may not remember all the details, it was called the Graham-Cassidy Bill.
This was now the third attempt.
Yes.
Right.
Three strikes and you're...
still in the game, apparently.
Yeah, unfortunately. So Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy, senators, co-authored a bill to, again, repeal and replace Obamacare, also known as Affordable Care Act. And to summarize what that bill would have done, give folks less coverage,
mm-hmm.
give out less money,
yep,
less certainty, and more GOP BS.
What do you mean by less certainty?
Meaning there were debates and people trying to figure out whether pre-existing conditions were going to be covered or not covered. Less uncertainty because the bill was going to send a lot of power to the states. And so literally, depending on what state you're in, would depend on how your health coverage and health care was going to be administered. So literally, we would have potentially had 50 different health care business models. And so that would lead to uncertainty because you literally don't know what you're going to get in your state.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
And so that's what we were about to sign up for. But... mm-hmm. To the rescue came Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Rand Paul.
Rand Paul.
A likely cast, unlikely cast of characters. And to bring it on home, John, I vote no to repealing and replacing Obamacare, McCain.
Wow.
Yeah, Rand Paul. Now, Rand Paul actually opposed it because he doesn't think it went far enough and doesn't think it actually repeals Obamacare. So, not that, I align with why he said no, but I still like his no vote, right, even though I don't like his intention behind it.
Right.
And then the others, McCain didn't vote for it because he felt like there wasn't the needed debate and process to follow to do something that's such a big deal. And then literally Susan Collins and Murkowski were just like, no, this ain't going to work. Y'all cutting funding, coverage, got stuff about Planned Parenthood in there. They were just like, they're not feeling it at all.
I think that Rand Paul probably also voted against it because he was trying to wait for the Paul Bearer Act because he really just wanted more people to not be alive to make it cheaper to run.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there were studies. It's hard for me to even say this, so I'm going to say when they tried to repeal it before, but you don't even know which one I'm talking about when I say that.
Right?
But one of the ones they tried before, literally, it was found that people would die.
Yes.
As a result, just as, you know, a matter of statistics, less coverage, less healthcare access, then more people are literally just going
to
die.
Like they just physically cannot afford what they need to stay alive.
Yes.
And that, to me, should be the most un-American thing that could ever be possible. But I feel like we got to go to break.
Yes, we got to go to break. We're going to do a quick station ID and a little bit of music. And then literally we're going to get back to the latest on healthcare because there's still more healthcare news, believe it or not.
We got some comments and call in.
Yes, indeed. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this quick, and I mean quick, break.
WHCR 90.3 FM, New York.
See how quick that was?
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to go music, then we were going to freestyle some more.
Well, we can.
No, we don't have to.
Okay, well, we'll do it after we finish the healthcare discussion.
Okay.
All right. So what's going on out there for all the underdogs and my peoples listening on Facebook Live? Well, actually, they're watching, too.
They're watching us, actually. Yeah, they can see you loud and clear. Tavion has a great comment. He says, the plan to repeal and replace Obamacare seems very half-baked. Even if you're against Obamacare, smart people aren't going to just remove it and put something unstable in its place.
It's very true. And it reminds me of another thing in the spirit of today's show, Are You Kidding Me?, that I learned when I was growing up, which is if you keep doing something the same way and expecting to get different results, that's the definition of insanity.
Definition of insanity.
Which means, yo, these Republicans is insane.
I mean, they are changing it a little bit each time.
Yeah, but for the worse.
Exactly.
Shout out to Tavion. Because, you know, because this topic, the reason why I we often talk about it is because it's one of the few things that literally, whether you're an underdog or not, just it affects every single one of us in this country.
Yeah.
At some point, literally from the day you were born, you were a part of the American healthcare system.
It affects every human. It's not just America, guys. It's people. It's every human on the planet at some course of their lifetime will need their health taken care of.
But I'll take it a step further. Literally, you don't get here without healthcare. Like, you're literally, for most part, you're delivered in a hospital. Like, your mother who gave birth to you was getting healthcare. So from the start, we are part of the healthcare system.
Exactly.
You can't even get here without it.
Exactly.
And we over here fighting over, well, you know, just let the states figure it out.
Like no other developed country says, let our provinces or states figure this out. It's a federal thing in every other country in the world, guys.
I'm starting to think.
Every other developed country.
True. I'm starting to think that I hate to call people mean, but to me, like, the spirit of it feels so mean.
I know. It like, feels
forget,
so
forget
mean.
About whether you're a Republican. Like, actually, if I, because certain things to me, actually, we make them political, but they're actually not political. So, like, diversity. Diversity, it, to me, isn't a left or right thing. Like, it's not like I should be for it or against it, depending on, like, what party I'm in. Like, no, we should embrace people because they're, like, on this planet, they're trying to do the best they can. And supposedly we wrote that all men and women are created equal to begin with. That's not a political thing to me, but somehow we make it. Healthcare. Like, literally, the fact that I want you to take have preventative care, be able to be taken care of if you're, like, in pain, that's not, like, a Republican or Democrat thing.
Exactly.
So to me, it's all, it's just, I don't understand why people can be so mean.
Yep.
All right. Now, speaking of healthcare, and, well, this isn't a case of being mean, but it's definitely a case of maybe not following some golden rules you learned when you were younger, like, don't be funny with people's money.
Oh, that's a good one.
Or else you might pay the Tom price for it. And that
this guy tried to move on too quick. Don't be funny with people's money or you're going to pay the Tom price. I like that.
I'm just saying.
I really like that.
And why do I say that? Because the Health and Human Services Secretary, Tom Price, resigned this week.
What he do?
Yo, your man's in them?
Yo, that's your man's because you've been on private jets. I ain't there.
I've been in business class.
I know that you've been.
No, I know. I just wanted the people listening
this
to know
this guy's
that, like,
practiced falconry in Dubai. So for anyone who thought.
Yo, I will say, there's nothing like when you get in that car, like, you know, they come to pick you up. And you don't have to, like, tell them, like, what terminal you're going to because they're, like, all part of, like, the whole.
Anyways, what Tom Price do?
So Tom.
With the difference is you was using the company's money and not taxpayers' money.
That is true. So Tom Price was out here flying around and you and I were paying for it.
So flying, like, where? Like, places that you can't get on normal airplanes, right?
Yeah, like, you know, I need a private jet to fly from D.C. to Philly.
Nah, son, you could even drive that.
I mean, you get on the Acela, on the Amtrak, and be there in about, 3 hours flat at the most.
So how much did all this cost? Because, I mean, a flight's like, what, $200, $300?
Well, so this is what happened. Tom Price, before he ended up resigning, he did offer to pay $52,000 back to the government to cover the cost of his seat on these planes.
But no, I heard... But when you book up the Air Force, like when you're using the government planes, it's not only your seat that's included in the cost. It's like the cost of the plane, the pilots, the staff that has to accompany you and the airports and all these things. That's not the only cost.
And therein lies part of the problem as to why that dude resigned is because he offered to pay for part of his, I don't call it a crime, but part of his misbehavior. But the actual cost of the plane was over $1 million.
Wow.
But he was going to give us taxpayers back, you know, 50.
Because I heard it was like 400,000, right? So it's I guess now it's like when they've accounted all of these costs, it's now like over $1 million. That's crazy.
He offered to repay 52,000 when the total cost of the flights was in excess of 1 million. It was over when he offered to pay for part of the cost. Someone pointed out that's like admitting full guilt without full penance.
So basically he. What did he do? Like, he blamed the administration?
Yeah.
Or, like, how did he even get away with this? Because obviously it was not 1, 2, 3 times, right?
He said supposedly he made requests to be pre-approved by the administration that he was allowed to do this. But the administration was like, nah, bro, we don't remember getting those requests. And then on top of that, he's like, but I'll pay you back, but just, like, my portion of it.
That's great. Yeah. So basically, it was over, to your point, when he admitted that, because when he said, I'll pay you back, because that's basically admitting guilt. Yeah.
And two things we know about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. Don't upstage him and don't go counter his message. So for one, Tom Price was in the news all last week. So, you know, Scaramucci'd. Bannon's.
Oh my gosh.
You know, when Bannon was on that cover of Time magazine, mm-hmm. folks was like, his days was numbered. Mm-hmm. That's why Jared Kushner's still around, because Jared don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Jared's like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, he talks to the Russians a lot, but that's a whole separate story. So and then on top of that, Tom Price was anti, you know, Trump says he's going to drain the swamp. You ain't draining no swamp if you got dudes running around in private planes for millions of dollars going from D.C. to Pennsylvania to Philly.
Exactly. And you want to hear what's even more crazy is that the previous Health and Human Services Secretary under Obama, guess how many, because some people could have the argument that, you know, using private jets within reason is part of the job, right?
Yeah, I agree with that.
So some people, you agree with that. So guess how many of these private jet flights the previous Health and Human Secretary took, the one under Obama, over the course of 5 years. Just guess. Just throw out a number.
Seven.
You know how many?
How many?
One. And you know where it was to? A remote village in Alaska that no other airplane would fly.
Okay, that makes sense.
And it's not actually required as a part of it, of your day-to-day job. It's actually only available for when other options are not.
I mean...
So just as like an FYI, just to put it in perspective that you, even Gregory, as a reasonable person, would be like, yeah, no, actually, it's not okay.
It's not okay.
And the fact that this guy, within a matter of months, ran up a million-dollar bill that he's not paying back, that America's not getting back, and that the people that almost lost their health care and almost lost the ability to pay for things like EpiPens and diabetes medication are not going to get back either.
Well, and I love that you used an example from the Obama administration. It reminds me of another saying I learned growing up, which is sometimes adults will say, do as I say, but don't do as I do. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I think that applies to Trump, because this dude's been vacationing weekends, weekdays, Mar-a-Lago, other places, Jersey, and yet... He's mad that, you know, one of his peoples was just, you know, trying to get around on some good flights.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. Do as I say, not as I do. Is that a black thing, or do other ethnicities have that in their household? I know I certainly did. And I'm sure you do, too.
Hey, underdogs out there, let us know. Have you ever heard that phrase, or is it just something that's unique to potentially the black experience? Let us know. But I've heard that, definitely got that a lot. And this is an example of, like, you know what? I don't actually think that that's a phrase that I want to use going forward, because it's basically almost hypocritical in a way. And Trump doesn't want his folks living the good life, but yet he's going to live the good life while he's the president. And we're paying for it, just like we were paying for Tom Price. So that is the last of our unavoidable news stories of the week. NFL and racial inequality. Then we talked a bit about what's going on in, like, crazy, are you kidding me, about what's going on in Puerto Rico? Mm-hmm. And then healthcare, as you put it, doing alive and well.
Yes.
Even though the Republicans and Tom Price are not.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that they're not doing well, but they're just going to hire somebody else for the job.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes, because they might have to actually do a confirmation, and who knows if they can get enough people to vote the new person in. It's going to get messy before it gets...
We need a little bit of mess up in there, man.
Well, no. We have a lot of mess up in there right now.
Yeah, it needs to. But we needed to get more messy. Because I like whatever's going on in there. If they organize and make what they're trying to do cleaned up, that's actually even scarier than it being messy. So I'd rather it just, like, get even more messy. Because for Democrats to actually take over and do the right thing, it has to get a lot messier than it is right now.
True. Shout out to John McCain. Never thought I'd say that again. Shout out to Jimmy Kimmel, too.
Mm-hmm.
And... Also, where are Chuck and Nancy at? We talked about the other story where's Elizabeth Warren and Bernie on racial inequality? Where are the Democrats on this? Literally, I feel like healthcare was saved by John McCain and Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, for the most part, I mean, all Democrats obviously voted against it. So in order to actually beat it, you need Republicans to vote against it. To be fair.
I know.
To be fair.
That's a fair point, but... I was being petty?
Kind of. Speaking of petty,
hold on. I don't know if I like that segue. at least say the person's name first, and then they're gonna say something.
No. Well, speaking of petty, we're gonna go back to the do as I say, not as I do. You know,
I thought you're about to call somebody petty.
No. I was not gonna call somebody petty. I was gonna say the topic. People that say do as I say, not as I do are typically people that are prone to pettiness, I should say, right? So what we posed a question to our Facebook viewers to say, have you ever heard the phrase, what are your thoughts about using the phrase, do as I say, not as I do? And we've got a great comment. Okay. I'm not suggesting in any capacity.
I didn't know where you were going.
That this particular person is. Actually, I think they're the opposite. I think they're super non-petty, super woke. But I don't know them. Shout out to Tavion. So when we talk about do as I say, not as I do, he says that's a poor management saying. I've seen that phrase around a lot, but I've seen that phrase more often than not with poor leaders. Mm. They tell you what to do and how you should do it, but those same people hide in the office and don't do work.
Yes. You know, shout out to Tavion for the comment. It is. There's phrases like, I think while we have things like walk the walk and talk the talk, mm-hmm. It's hard to like have a relationship with someone when their words and their actions don't match. And to me, to build on Tavion's point, it's actually in a way unimaginable that when we're kids, we hear certain phrases and are told to us like they're truth. Mm-hmm. And you get a little older, you're like, yo, that's whack. Like, why are you telling me the sticks and stones may break my bones or words will never hurt me? Like, words, there's people who still can't get over something that was said to them when they were 11 years old. But whatever, if they would have sprained an ankle or something like that or broke something, like, it healed. But they still can't get over that someone called them not smart enough. Or we say stuff like, don't do it. Don't watch what I do. Do as I say. And you're like, okay. And they're like, you get older, like, that's whack.
Super whack.
It's tough being a kid.
It's tough being a parent as well. You know, it is tough being a parent. But yeah, I definitely much rather lead by example, both in home life as well as in professional life. And in the same way that, you know, I would not ask any of my team members to do something that I wouldn't do. And I would hope that I carry myself in a way that they would feel comfortable emulating as well.
Yeah, because you're leading by example, mm-hmm. and having your words and actions measure up. And shout out to Tavion and Underdogs out there. If you have some phrases that you were taught when you were younger, that now that you're older, you're like, yo, that's not a good idea. I would say one that comes to mind for me is, I used to hear growing up, don't do business with family and friends. Mm-hmm. They were like, you know, crabs in a barrel, or like you keep business and pleasure, keep them separate. And then you get older and you're like, to use the Trumps as an example, I'm like, I don't know, this family and friends thing is working out pretty good for them. They got a bunch of folks up in the cabinet. They chilling. They got businesses together. It's like, you know, family and friends be working stuff out. So, you know, we learn stuff as kids that unfortunately we got to figure out how to unlearn them when we get older. And, you know, do as I say, not as I do is definitely one of them. Shout out to Tavion and all the underdogs following along out there.
Well, I think just before we end on that note, because I think that brings up a really good point about something we were talking about earlier and a comment that was made around the Black community sticking together, right? I mean, when you think about a phrase that's so ingrained with us, don't do business with friends and family, do you think that Jewish people abide by that? No. Do you think that Italian people abide by that?
No.
Do you think that Indian people abide by that? No. It's only like, do you think that Chinese people abide by that?
No. And I'll go a step further. It's been, at least my experience, that it's been mostly the Black American experience, because I've seen folks that are part of the African diaspora. When I look at some folks with certain African culture, even some of my Caribbean friends, like there is this like us against them, we'll mm-hmm. do it together, we're gonna all chip in. And I've seen somehow over the centuries that for the Black American experience, oftentimes it's been like, no, you know, love me some Black folks, but hate me some, as Chris Rock would say, or no,
Jiggers.
don't do. So yeah, man, it's That's a big one to unlearn, because there's magic with working with loved ones that's out there.
So let's change don't do business with family and friends to do business with your family and friends. Yeah. Keep the money in the circle.
And there's factual examples out there. We're not even speculating this. Like, even if you hate Trump, look at what the Trumps is doing. The family and friends hookup is like, it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to get on board with that. Underdog tip out here, unwritten rule, work with your family and friends. You'll enjoy seeing your loved ones come up. It's extra sweet, I promise you. With that, we're going to take a quick break. Today's episode, are you kidding me? Things that we learned as kids that now we're like, I don't know if all the adults are following them now. And we've seen some folks out of pocket and not following some of those golden rules we learned. And also, we just talked about some ones that we want to unlearn too. More of your comments on Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith or your phone calls at 212-650-6903. Quick break, and then we're back with more of The Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture after this. Thank you for listening to episode, Are You Kidding Me? Part 1. Part 2 will be out on Wednesday, October 4th. And as always, we'll continue to get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that accidentally finds the show. Appreciate you. And I leave you with my favorite quote. Can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody.